Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
Oh, you know what? I've been talking and I've got myself on mute, so this isn't working. I got them on mute, too, because I'm Nancy Hopkins, and this is the Say What Show. And I want to say hi to all of our earthbound people listening to us now in the future on YouTube and in the archives, because we do have archives. You got to go to HaggyShack.com to get them. And to all of the galactic space family that we have out there that might be listening. And, of course, our etheric brothers and sisters. So today we have, of course, Dolly Howard, my Dolly. And we also have Christia coming slack. So I'm going to say, hi, Christia. Are you there?
I always mute myself if I'm not talking and my computer wouldn't let me unmute.
See, that's a problem I was having. Oops, I muted.
No, you both can talk. Go ahead. I got you unmuted.
Oh, well, Christia, see, that's a problem I was telling you I was having.
Right. It was kind of.
It wouldn't let me undo it.
Huh? But I'll say hi to the galactic family and to the Earth family and to the etheric family. I'm really happy to be here with Nancy and Dolly. I feel like when we were connecting today, I felt, I'm having a conversation with some old friends.
Well, I would hope you'd think that.
Dolly, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just in heaven. My daughter and son-in-law.
Well, how did we connect? How did we connect to heaven?
Sherry and Shannon came over. And Shannon and I were in the pool, and we were just talking about our stuff, Trump and the alien stuff and their house and how they're getting screwed on that. And we just, thoroughly enjoyed each other's company. And Sherry and Annette were busy. They were watching Cupcake Wars, and then they got hungry. So they went out and got the makings for the no-bake chocolate cookies. And so we just had a wonderful day. And here we are now.
And here we are now. Christia, you had to do the preparation for the Francis storm and everything. And as you were telling us, nothing too much happened. But give us your thoughts about what was out there at that time, because it sure had a lot of people preoccupied, that storm did.
It was Florence, right? Florence?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, because we're in Savannah, right there on the coast in the low country, we're always kind of, we're in the tip peak hurricane season. So we always prepare and, keep and watch. And it was so slow moving. That thing, usually hurricanes come and go within, 12, 24 hours. This thing was so slow. And because it was so slow, they didn't know where it was going to go yet. And at first it was going to come right into the middle of South Carolina. And Savannah is right across the river of South Carolina. Like, the only thing that separates Savannah from South Carolina is Savannah River. As soon as you cross the bridge, you're in South Carolina. And a lot of people work and live, like, let's say they live in South Carolina, but they might work in Savannah. Or they might live in Savannah and work in South Carolina, or vice versa. It's very common because we're so close. And, people might go over to South Carolina to go shopping or whatever. So we just, and I want to say this. I know that it's good to be cautious. I know that it's good to prep. But the media, especially the Weather Channel, it makes it out to be, you know, trauma dramas. And I think it's really important as a awakened human being, people, that you use your own discernment, your own brain. You take precautions, you make preparations, but you pay attention and don't necessarily just have one source of information. Like, I was going to the NOAA site, the National, you know, whether the NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric site, and looking at the trajectory there, looking at the winds there, watching it from there, instead of not necessarily the Weather Channel or other media outlets, because it's just the facts. You don't have to get into the dramas. And I think, unfortunately, because it's TV, it's trying to be a quote-unquote entertainment or drama, but it's, you know, it wants to get people tapped in to the collective fear, tapped into the collective, you know, panic. And I want to say this. I recently have seen the cords. I recently, a few weeks ago, had a spiritual experience working with a client where I could actually physically see the energy around the earth that is collective from human emotions. And I want to say this, people, that there are literally frequency rivers of discordant energies from humans around the earth. And they have become thick depending on what river it is. And then humans, when they have those emotions, not only plug in to, like, say they're healing past lives or their family stuff, their DNA, it's attached to the collective. So, you know, you could be easily feeding the collective fear and not even conscious of it. So when these events happen, not that we should not prepare, not that we not, you know, be smart. Like, you know, we made sure that things weren't going to fly around. Because we kept saying we were right on the edge between 30-mile-an-hour winds and 50-mile-an-hour winds for us. And at first it was going to be a hurricane for us. And then it was going to be a tropical storm for us. And then literally, you know, they had us prepping for Thursday. But it didn't even come into where it could dip down to get us until like maybe Sunday. That's how slow moving this thing was. So they really, you know, drug out, you know, the whole thing. But it, because it was slow moving, it brought torrential rain. And the people in North Carolina and South Carolina got hammered. I mean, just hammered. And, you know, it really is like a war zone up there because it's going to take them a long time to recover because those waters haven't receded yet. And what's scary is there are not desirable things in that water. Poisonous snakes, gators, you know, all kinds of crazy, creepy, crawly stuff. Plus down power lines. So it's going to be a long haul for those people. And I've been praying and working, sending energies and stuff for them to support them. But it's a big deal, big deal.
Well, first off, I know that Dolly will never go to North Carolina, South Carolina. You just mentioned that S word again. Snake.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she did.
No.
Only I couldn't get off mute to say it.
You know, I myself have been through a number of floods. The highest amount of water I had in the house was 4 feet in the back, like 3 feet up front. When you go through these things, it's really, if you're prepared in your head, you know, we talk about preparation, but it's really got to be your head preparation. Because I tell people, if you think you might be going to flood, you've never gone through it before, walk through the house and look and see what would happen if you just had water on the floor coming in from the outside. walk around the house and pick up everything that shouldn't be there that's going to get wet if you get, like, you know, 3 inches of water in your house. Then go around and look at it and say, what happens if there's a foot in this house? And then go around and say, what happens when there's 2 feet in this house? Because if you're prepared to look at a water rise and know what could be in danger, you're prepared for it. The first time I ever was in a flood, I basically woke up and was in 6 inches of water in the house. Had no idea it was one of those freak nature things, you know? But when you're talking about preparation, it's just like Christy is saying. There's some basic things that you should always have. You never know what's going to happen. You know, just get trained to have this stuff. Just put it away. You know, and every once in a while you go and get the storm preparations, take them out, eat the beans or whatever you got in there, you know, then change them out again. Get your head prepared, because that way, whatever nature throws at you, you're going to be able to say, oh, okay, and bounce instead of panicking, because that panic is awful. You suddenly don't know. You can't even think about what's happening, because your brain starts to just get muddled. And as far as what they do to us in a fear factor concept, I think Walt posted it in the chat on Tuesday, but somebody captured on from the television of the Weather Channel, and they had this guy out there and blowing in the wind and holding on to his hat and, you know, all this happening. But in the background, there were two guys smoking cigarettes watching him.
Well, they were walking by, too.
Where Anderson Cooper is standing in, like, a puddle, like the ditch on the side of a road, but nobody else is in water. Like, he's in waders. Talk about how deep the flooding is. But he's actually in the ditch. You know what I mean? Like, he's in the ditch. Of course, the ditch would flood. But there's no other flood. You know, like, the camera guy is, like, there's a picture of, like, the camera guy, you know. But you can tell that, you know, it's all fakey. You know, it's all set up. And you're totally spot on. It's important to be prepared, especially now. We're in that chaotic mode, people. No matter where you're living, prepare for a natural disaster. If you're in the Midwest, tornadoes, you know, rain, snow, blizzards. If California, fires, you know, prepare, earthquakes. Prepare. Have a prepared thing. Have a first aid thing. Be prepared, because this is the deal, folks. More people are going to be displaced now until 2020 and beyond from natural shifts. Gaia is shifting. She is shedding. She is evolving. She is ascending. Just like you are. Just like as you are shifting. And you are healing, so is she. And she is changing. That is scientifically been proven. She is changing. So this is time to prepare. And, you know, when I always see the hurricanes, I just walk around and I just make peace with what is and be okay that I may not have anything when I come back. From when we've had to evacuate before, I just make peace that when I come back, I may have nothing. And that's kind of the way you need to look at it. Like, you may lose everything in a second. And if you did, how would you be? How would you be?
Well, you know, as Christy, on the Shungite show, Julie Roberts and I got into a conversation about that, because we really did some energy work with Francis, because as we went through the show, I realized that all that water that was all over the place, I mean, all over the East Coast of America, that all that water was like a blanket, and it was holding the same frequency, the frequency of the storm, and that it's an easy carrier frequency for sort of piggybacking on top of it the good intentions of our audience. So we did some meditation work and focus work on doing, you know, just focusing on the water and with the understanding that Mother Nature wasn't coming through. First off, I never thought for an instant this was a man-made storm. And last year when I was in Irma, I can tell you, I never thought for an instant it was natural. So I'm coming from some experience when I say to you that that was not a man-made or in any way controlled storm. That was Mother Nature, Gaia, making energetic changes. Because if she doesn't make these heat, essentially heat, she's taking heat from the equator and moving it north. If she doesn't do this, then we're just going to get hotter and hotter, and eventually the oceans will boil. That's scientific fact. So she's moving water and heat, but she's also moving energy, a tremendous amount of energy. As we're going through this meditative thingy, I suddenly realized it was like a perspective change. Because when the storms are coming, I'm moaning and groaning, I got to put up the shutters, I got to do this, and I got to do that. I don't worry about being prepared because I'm always prepared, but just the stuff that you have to do. And it interrupts my radio, you know, I mean, so, but when I started focusing on the reality of it from a different perspective, Mother is doing something she needs to do. And if we lose our home because she is making these big moves, is she doing it to hurt us? No, she's doing it to readjust the energies. And a lot of those energies are from human beings not thinking good thoughts. You know, but Mother's trying to mitigate what could happen by doing little shifts here and there. So if you lose your home in one of these events, in essence, what we should have the response of is not, oh, woe is me, why am I the victim? We should be grateful for having been given the opportunity to, okay, you gotta do this, then do it. If you take out my stuff, that's okay. Because a good thing is being done. We should stop looking at all of this as being negative and greet it with, oh, wow, she's really moving some energy now. We better get out of the way. We better prepare. But not to blame anybody for something that is such a natural event, in this case, and to embrace it, to be part of it, not fight it. And if you are damaged or you're perceived damaged from it, if you just say, thank you, I'm glad to be of service, you're going to find that all will transfer all of the negativity from your own experience and just dissipate it. Anyway, that's what I think. And that's what we were, you know, came to me during working with those waters.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We have to co-create with Mother. And, you know, I always pull a card. And I thought it was very interesting, the angel card that I pulled before the show was Archangel Myrrh, interspecies relationships. So I was thinking before the show, what is my relationship with Mother Earth, and all her, you know, inhabitants? So I say to you people, how is your relationship with Mother Earth? Do you do positive things to help her? You know, what are you doing to contribute to the positive? And like, you know, I was saying, I can see now the rivers, the collective negative frequency rivers, but there's also collective rivers of good. But it's very easy for humans, like, you know, to blame, to get anger, to have the road rage, to get, you know, it's very easy for the human ego to plug into the negative first. And so I say to you, listeners, where are you plugged into? And to consciously think about, you know, cutting those cords or working with somebody if you don't want to do it yourself or don't know how. But consciously think about your emotional being and what are you doing? And how are you contributing either to the good or not so good, and start to become awakened individual and make conscious choices using your own discernment. There you go.
I agree. What about you, Dolly? What are you thinking? How the hell do I get my mute off?
That's it. It just came off. Jeez. I didn't know what to think about all the storms that were out there. All those storms. Did you all see that there were a whole bunch of storms, not just Florence?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when I go to the site and then I look. But they were all doing weird things. Like, one was just doing a little circle. One of them was just doing a bigger circle and going to go up towards England and turn into. But there's also things out in the Pacific, like the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane is just where it's located, you know?
Well, so, what happened with them is my question.
Oh, they didn't do anything. They just kind of went in a circle. At least the ones
fizzled out.
Yeah, the ones in the Atlantic did.
Because I realized, well, wait a minute. Okay, I've been watching Florence stuff, but where the heck did all those other storms go to? So then it made me wonder, are they real?
Yeah, the first time I got involved with these things was like 1970, I think it was 5, with David. And I watched these storms. I studied them for decades until I stopped doing it because I don't look at anything anymore. But that everybody was going like, oh, well, this is unusual. Well, yeah, it's unusual, but it's all explainable by natural explanations. You know, they just wanted to make these things into more than they were. I've seen that picture many times. But I watched it when there wasn't a Florence getting everybody's attention. You'd see them lined up one after the other. You know, like
ooh,
this.
The storms, okay.
The
go
storms,
ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So again, it was a hype thing that really didn't conform to the truth of what I know to be real.
Yeah.
Just an observation. Now, when I
saw the weatherman pretending he's being blown to heck and all that, and then those two guys are smoking cigarettes, walking very calmly behind him, talking to each other, I said, "What the heck? You can't even believe the Weather Channel now?" It was very disheartening for me. That storm kind of was disheartening for me in an odd way.
You mean you're doubting the Weather Channel now?
Yeah. I know, it was a big crush to my whole being.
It's kind of tragic, you know?
It is. You can't even believe the Weather Channel? Oh, man. It broke my heart, Nancy.
You can't believe anything in media. You must use your own discernment.
Well, I learned that.
You can't believe anything. I mean, you really can't. You must use your own discernment. And if you're not in touch with your own energy and your own soul, I beg you people to open up to your own energy, your own unique frequency. Whether you believe in a higher power or not, you have a soul. And I ask that you connect with it and learn to communicate with it. It will serve you well. It will keep you safe. It will help you.
But, Christy, how in the world would I have thought to myself, well, okay, you have to be very discernful with the Weather Channel even.
It's TV, honey.
Oh, that's
anything coming through that flat screen or box or whatever you got, or tablet or computer, anything that comes across in any form, even a human being, even if you're at the grocery store and someone's standing right in front of you, always use your own discernment. And I guarantee you, if you tune in, your intuition will tell you if it's true or not. And 9 times out of 10, if it's coming from the TV, I guarantee you it's probably not true.
Hey, Dolly, she's kind of preachy tonight, isn't she?
She certainly is. I was sitting here being surprised. I was trying to use some discernment there. Is this our Christie? She's being so preachful.
Well, she's got me kind of upset because she's indicating that we shouldn't watch our Oak Island, that there would be some damage to it done to us.
Well, I put that right out of my mind. There's no way I'm not watching that.
Island, but okay, me and my husband watch Oak Island, but I will say this last past season, I kind of was, my heart was kind of, I was, you know, I was in a hook, line, and sinker, and this last season, my heart, my own discernment, some red flags went up for me, and I kind of got real upset. I got upset when Marty, he's also doing other TV yes. shows and other treasure things, and it just seems so scripted. And so, I mean, not that those reality shows aren't scripted, but you know, they're scripted and produced quite a bit.
No, and, you're saying our Oak Island is scripted?
Yeah, and produced.
Oh,
why did you ask her on the show?
You're the one who brought her on tonight.
She asked herself on. She's here.
She is swearing tonight. Taking our Oak Island in vain.
Oh, you know.
She attacked our Oak Island. Oh my God!
And our boys, Marty and what's the other guy's name?
I know it. Oh, she got me so flustered.
We watch it too. We, you know, and my husband's way into it, and I'm telling you, I loved it too. But this last past season, but it's getting ready to come back on in November.
We know.
This last past season, though, if you think about it and you go back and watch it, you're going to see what I'm talking about.
Oh, I saw it as it was happening.
Yeah, I
okay.
know.
Okay, well, no, but let's look at it, okay? Yeah. Because last year, well, the year before, the season before that, you could tell that they were under some strain because of the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the next year, it opens up, and they've got a piece of equipment that I know because I'm always been sort of involved with this thing that was at least $1 million, maybe $1.5 million.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I did yes. see that.
Yes. You know? I was very aware of that.
And then they've got all these other things happening, and they're putting in this stuff. And also, what's Marty's brother's name? Why am I having a blank?
I don't know. I got a blank too right away, but I know his name.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to Google it.
All I can think of is Andy, and that's not right.
No. I'll Google it.
Oh, that's freaky that all three of us don't remember.
That is freaky. What's
because
going
he's our
on with
he's our
that?
He's our favorite, right?
Yes, yes.
He's the guy that's the magic behind this whole thing.
He certainly he's the pusher.
His dream. It's Rick and Marty Legge.
Yes.
Rick. Even
and
now, that doesn't sound right to me. Isn't that
no,
strange?
It doesn't. Something's weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's really
but
Rick.
It's Rick.
But it's they call him Rick, but it's probably Richard.
Well,
right?
Okay, remember last year he got ill.
Yeah, he did.
He got Lyme's disease.
Right. Wow.
And I was watching the episode before that, and I said to myself, damn, he doesn't look good. Something's not right with him. And then he was diagnosed with Lyme's disease. So for the rest,
I was glad Marty came in and said, you are going to the hospital.
Well, yeah. He was pretty stupid that he didn't react sooner. That was just really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of the season, I absolutely detected something off in Rick. So I wanted to think maybe it's because he's really not recovered from that. I understand it can be very debilitating.
Oh yeah, it could be years. I have, and people can pass it in utero, like if a woman gets pregnant and she has Lyme and doesn't know it, the baby can get it. Oh yeah, Lyme is, a lot of people have Lyme and don't even know it. And it's been diagnosed as another autoimmune disease and they're not getting proper care. Lyme disease is like big time. It is big time and people don't realize it. And it debilitates your muscles and it's extremely painful. I've never had it, but it's extremely, I have worked with people who have had it and survived it. And it is extremely painful. And there's no really, cure. It has to do its time kind of thing. And it could be a couple years.
Dolly, she's off on another subject again. I don't know why she left you.
She is weird tonight.
She is definitely weird tonight.
Do you think this is our Christia?
Oh, good question. Good question. We have to give her some kind of a secret code word because we can't shake her hand.
Right.
Maybe I'm an alien.
No, listen. Back to Oak Island, okay? Because they've got this massive thing now making a huge bore down. And it breaks.
Yeah.
You know, $1 million worth of equipment, and it breaks.
Right.
Right. So then they do another thing, and this time they get down there. And this time they did hit the treasure. They hit that room. I know they did.
I know they did in my heart. I know they did.
Okay.
I know they did.
No. By the time that they got to that season, which would have been not this summer, but last summer, we already knew for a number of years the ability of these satellites to look down and actually look under the earth and be able to see whatever's in there.
Right.
This should not, if you've got $1.5 million for a piece of equipment, I guarantee you somebody bankrolled a satellite look. To take a look at this. When it started out, it was, Well, now everybody's is very much aware of what's happening there. This is getting world attention. And so somebody said, well, I think it was Walt Silvey, always gets me in trouble. I think he said, well, why don't you just remote view it? And I said, well, I think it's cheating. I'm watching a television program, I'm having a good time. I don't look at the final chapter or page of a book. It's a puzzle game, right? But then I kind of thought about it and I said, oh, I don't know, And then I find out that some known remote viewer, that's not right because I love the way the universe works. So I said, well, I could go down and see if they're, if it's there, if there is a room, if they think they hit something. So all of a sudden, because I'm really focused on it, boom, I'm right outside. I'm in solid rock, but I'm outside of a wall. There felt like there was a wall. There was something on, it wasn't solid in front of me. It was something, a room opened, And, I knew that there was some, it wasn't treasure, it was a device. There may have been treasure, but all I was focusing on was this device. And I got warned, do not go through that wall. I think it might have been Dave Corso yelling at me, don't put your nose where it doesn't belong. but I really felt like there was some kind of a very, very dangerous device on the other side of the wall. And so I just backed out. I was not going to go through that wall. And then I found out that some remote viewer had tried to do the same thing. And he basically said the same thing. There's something on the other side of the wall, but I ain't going there to see it. So there is something down there. And then just 3 or 4 days ago, on one of those channels that talks ancient aliens and stuff, they were talking about the Ark of the Covenant being buried at Oak Island.
Ark of the... Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Well, and the whole thing about that is that it's a... Like, it's somehow kind of some nuclear device or the Ark of the Covenant, because it... They believe, if you watch those Ancient Alien shows, that it, you know, it puts off a frequency, kind of some kind of radiation based on the stories making people, you know, sick after long exposure to it. So if it was a dangerous device, you know, as soon as you said that, Nancy, my gut said, oh, well, it's alien technology. So do you feel like it was alien technology or?
Oh, I thought it was alien. Well, what's alien, you know? It's advanced, super advanced technology. At the time, I did not think in terms of Ark of the Covenant. I just knew that there was a device, and if I don't know, if I think about the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant, it probably was, I think I was seeing something smaller than what they say that was. But I definitely felt like it was a box, and inside the box was a lot of electronics, for lack of another word to explain it. Powerful equipment. It could have been a nuclear fusion kind of thing, but I didn't feel that. I felt that it was more like a mini CERN, if you will, that it had some access to either an alternate dimension or the quantum field itself. It was, but these are just, you know, what I felt, the images that you know, came to mind. And I have thought of it since then, you know, but that was, sometimes when you, well, remote viewing is interesting in that once you're there, it's like part of your whole psyche. You just can pop right back to where you were and look at it again. You don't forget what a remote view is. It's very solid. It's not like a regular memory. It's peculiar. So I would think, well, what it look like this, like, you know, but you never alter the actual view of your remote, because sometimes you start playing with a memory and you screw it so up you don't even remember what it was. You know what I mean? So what I think is that Rick, that he's very, very upset, because I think he feels like Marty sold out. In that he's got this family thing and they're doing this stuff. And Marty's running out of money, and he's either got to, you know, basically, I don't think he had the money to continue. So he goes with these people that come to him and say, we'll finance it. Because those people have this, they know what's down there. And that's what I get a feeling about, is that now there's big money behind this operation. Rick is so upset that he actually got Lyme disease sickness because he was so diseased. And Marty's running around doing all this other stuff because he's probably feeling a tremendous amount of guilt regarding this whole thing, and so now he's just being led into, let's do this and let's do that. These are just images that I'm feeling, things I'm feeling about the whole show.
Well, when the show ended last year, whenever we saw it last time, Marty seemed to me to be very disheartened, very down emotionally, and I wondered, why? What's wrong? Not Marty, Rick. Why? What is wrong with Rick? Why is he so down and sad looking? And now that you're saying these things, that kind of makes sense to me. Something just isn't like it was when they started and Rick was all excited.
No, he feels like it's not his anymore.
Yeah.
And he probably feels now that he's on the outside and that he's being used as a puppet.
Right.
Well, my next question is it because these people that have this unlimited resource of money are they really extraterrestrial darkies? And they want the device for themselves.
No, oh, now she's throwing aliens into our show. Holy cow!
Well, they could be. I don't see. I don't think it's alien. I do think that this is something that was put there by man. Because if it was an alien technology or somebody that was, if the aliens did it, you wouldn't have such very advanced for the time, but crude ways of having done this.
Right.
This looks man-made to me. Somebody wanted that buried. And I smell the Knights Templar all over it.
Right. So, but my question is the thing itself.
Oh, the thing itself is, well, you're saying alien, and I'm saying that it's advanced technology because I don't know if it came from off-world or from the past, from a technologically advanced human race.
They keep showing me Atlantis.
A what?
Atlantis. They keep showing me, as you're talking, this device. They're showing me you looking in to this, like when you remote view. They're kind of showing me you, like, kind of as you're talking, you remote viewing, and then this device, and then I'm seeing as you're talking about it, Atlantis, the technology that you, because you said it could have been here on Earth, this advanced technology, and then they showed me, when you said advanced technology, then they showed me Atlantis, that this technology could have and was maybe used on Earth and was created Atlantean.
Well, yeah, that's why when you asked me was it alien, it was like, it's not that, you know, because, but everything comes from Atlantis. How many times have I said back in Atlantis, you know, it's like, no, it's just something that sort of showed up, you know. It wasn't Atlantean probably, because where did it show up? Egypt. Who went to Egypt? The Atlanteans.
Yes. After they blew something up. That's right.
Well, they went, blew themselves up. They blew a crystal up. They blew the main crystal for the whole grid up. It was in Panama. And it all, you know. But, yeah, Egypt, the very beginning of the Egyptian, let's say, higher civilization, was seeded by Atlanteans. And if you look at... Okay, they talk about the Ark of the Covenant, and most of us think that it all of a sudden sort of showed up in the hands of Moses. I mean, that's where the story sort of always begins. But if you look at some of the hieroglyphic work and artwork on all of the tombs and stuff throughout Egypt, very often you find that a box fitting the basic diameters of the Ark of the Covenant in those pictures. So it seems that this thing was a known entity within the Egyptian society before it showed up at the time of Moses. So yeah, it was probably it. And you getting those, I mean, I would absolutely say that I would bet on it. Now, how did it get to Atlantis is the question. You know, because they were highly involved with, off-world people.
Well, I was just going to say, it was like brought here as a gift.
From who?
Well, I'm just seeing light beings.
You're saying the Ark of the Covenant was a gift by other than God.
Maybe it was brought down by light beings from God.
Interesting.
I don't think God had anything to do with it.
You don't?
No. I think it's a device.
All right.
A very, very dangerous device that was, I think, brought to Atlantean Earth. Because of its technology. Remember, they went into the desert And they survived on mana.
Yes.
Well, where do you think the mana, whatever it is, came from?
Yes.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
The Ark of the Covenant?
Yes.
So why do you think it's so dangerous? Like, why do you keep thinking it's dangerous?
Well,
because somebody dangerous could use it for bad? Because
They don't understand the technology.
Because I don't think the thing itself is dangerous, but I think if somebody knew what they were doing, they could do terrible things with it. But they could also do wonderful things with it. Like, I feel like the device itself is neutral, but if a human, depending on their intentions, could use it for immense evil or really, really good. Like, you know, heal the planet kind of thing. Or destroy it.
Well, that's the same with everything that they build. You know, there's a good, there's a bad, and the bad is what's you know, it's just crazy to me. Because I totally agree. But I think it is neutral. It's a device. And it's like, if you're messing around with a television set, you could electrocute yourself if you don't know what the hell you're doing, right?
Oh, yeah, and you could blow yourself up.
Yeah, so that's what happened to these people. They're mucking around with a technology. They have no clue as to what it is. And they were certain, I mean, somebody knew how to access it and keep it safe. But somebody that didn't, you know, like, boom, you're dead. So then it gets a reputation of being that, you know. But my feeling is that the Knights Templar became the possessors of this device and knew its dangers. So they put it in Oak Island. And then I'm pretty sure the Knight Templars were high magicians. I believe that they put thought forms in to protect this thing so it could never be found. Just like they used thought forms when they would bury pharaohs. So that the people that first got in, broken those, many of them died. Because of the thought forms. The energy field of death that they would put in those tombs. And I think they did the same thing here. I think that's why so many people have died, why something so damn simple can't seem to be done. So I
want to go back to the mana.
Oh, okay.
I can't get past it.
Okay.
In the Bible it says it came from the heavens. I'm assuming it's raining down, God's providing, okay, it's lunchtime, let's give you some mana. It's raining it down. Never once in my whole life did I ever think the manna came from the Ark of the Covenant.
Haven't you seen that Ancient Aliens episode? They talk about this. And there's an episode where they're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And they take, I'm almost positive, they take verses from the Bible that...
And that said that the manna came from the Ark of the Covenant?
I'm almost positive.
Boy, I missed that.
Have you seen that episode, Nancy?
I have. Hold on. I got to get some.
Okay, she's got a cough and her throat.
So I think because the device came... You know, but we also got to remember it's cute.
Okay, it's a device. So let's assume that Dolly's correct, because you always hear that manna from heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if they say manna from heaven, you're thinking it's raining down, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if they didn't know what to call it, so they called it heaven, but it was actually the quantum field? So it wasn't raining down, it was being produced from the quantum field, and create manna that is like bread. What you've got there is something that can be used like the Star Trek Enterprise's duplicator.
Oh, I know what
you know what they call that thing? What is it?
Replicator.
Replicator.
It's a replicator.
Replicator.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
No. I can't. My mind has in it that God provided the manna and it came down from heaven. That's the way it's fixated in my mind.
Well, because you're not the only one to have that, because we've been told a story, you know, because it's in the Bible, we've been told a story, and as a human, we have what? How old is the Bible? 5,000 years of a belief system that's actually a frequency. It's a belief system. And so as a human, there's, you know, your ego, and then there's your soul, but there's belief systems. And so not only is it your belief system, but it's a whole bunch of other people's belief systems. So, you know, kind of pushing buttons, thinking about what Nancy said, you know, that it came from the quantum field.
Think of it.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. Okay. It's like, somebody writes down, it fell. It did. They never said it fell. They said manna from heaven. Okay. So they write a story describing what this manna from heaven must be that ends up in your head. That's your perception because they told you the story explaining that concept. And I come along right now and I'm saying, well, I'm going to take the same story, but I'm giving you a scientific perception on what it says.
You're just trying to mess with my mind.
But I'm only trying to mess with your mind.
Yes. And throwing in quantum field, which I have no comprehension of at all.
Well, the bottom line is I think that that's what's in the bottom of that pit. And knowing a teeny weeny little snippet of what's required for ceremonial magic and believing that the Knight Templars are master magicians, all right?
Well, that I can believe, yeah.
They're never going to get to that treasure until they get into the correct mindset. And that's what
Who's not going to get in there? Who's
any
that?
Of them. All the treasure hunters. Nobody's going to get through there until if you bust into that room. All right? My feeling is that you might all die. Because you're busting into a situation that you have absolutely no knowledge of, that has got basically absolute power if it's connected to the quantum field. The only way you can get in there is to have the people that are working it to be of a certain frequency. It goes back to the concept of the, in Bulgaria, Romania, in the Romanian mountains, I always forget what the name of them are. They found a cave. They get into the cave. They find this wall. The first people that touched it, and it was like an energy wall. But
the Bugla things.
Correct. And they touched that wall and they died. But then the guy that had the right frequency was able to walk through it and open the door so everybody could go through it. That's what they're missing in Oak Island. They really should ask me to help them out.
Well, the three of us
will go because it almost always takes three.
Oh, I'll go. I'm going in a heartbeat.
I'm totally there. I'm totally there. We need to contact them. Oh, I love it.
Along with all the other kooks.
Well,
they're going to believe us over all the other kooks.
Well, isn't there a museum? We could go to the museum and we could
connect
the Davis of the land. Obviously, there's higher beings guarding it. I mean, who's to say we can't just tune in and talk to them?
Oh, we absolutely can.
Yeah.
But But then you're interfering in the story. Do you want to watch the story or do you want to screw with it? I vote let's screw with it.
Yeah, I'd rather. I kind of want to screw with it. I mean, we've gone this far. I want to get in there.
And where is anybody? Does anybody know where that curse came from? They keep saying the seven have to die.
The death? Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Why did they not count Mr. Dolan? He died. He was involved in Oak Island completely, and they didn't count him as one of the deaths.
I think it's because it died of natural causes.
Did he?
Yeah, I think.
No, he was very old. He was very old.
I know this, but did he die because of his old age, or did he die because he contracted some kind of an illness from all this stuff, the digging of the dirt and all that stuff?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to look up his medical report. But after the break... We're going to take a 4-minute break here, and we will be back after that.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, Annette's listening.
Cool.
The rain is pouring down on me, and the sun is shaded by the trees, and the world is spinning at my feet, and I am wondering what will remain of this little life I am living? Is there hope and love that I will bring? I've seen too many bad things. I wanna change. I wanna change the world. I wanna change the world. I wanna change the world.
Change the world. We're gonna change the world.
wanna see in the world.
And we're back with the Say What Radio Show on Cosmic Reality Radio. This is Nancy Hopkins speaking to you. And it is September 22nd, 2018. Yesterday was the equinox. And I'm with Dolly Howard and Christina Cummings Slack. And I love that song because it was so appropriate. You know, you guys pull the greatest angel cards, but I seem to have music lined up that, you know, really works for the shows. And so we've been talking about Oak Island and other things, and these guys think that they want to go on up there and make a difference and change, interfere in the natural progression of the story, as it were, you know. And I'm like, oh, you really want to do that, girls?
Oh, you said you wanted to go too. Don't even try that.
As Q says, disinformation is necessary.
So, I you know, if it's a frequency thing, Rick and Marty can change their frequency, I believe, you know, doing forgiveness work to raise their frequency. Because my guess is that it has to be a being that's pure, or a purer frequency, a higher frequency, a faster frequency, in order to access it.
Well, if any, I think Rick would have that ability.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
I think Rick is pretty darn pure.
Right.
And that's what the problem is because now the money people with the dark hearts and the control and the greed are there.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I personally will do everything I can to keep them from getting there.
Yeah.
Because I can look at Rick, who I do believe was I believe he was a Knight Templar come back, you know, to bring the treasure back out into the open.
Oh, yes. This is past life stuff for them. Yes, yes, yes. And that was quite evident in the episode when they go to France.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so, but here we go. Okay, I got the way out of this, all right? So, our hero, Rick, the White Knight.
Yes.
His whole project has been taken over by the dark side, he thinks.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because all of a sudden there's all this money involved, and they've got all this equipment and everything, you know? So He's in a you know, that dark, what is it, the thing of the soul, the dark hours, midnight hours, darkness,
dark,
I don't know.
Night of the soul.
Dark night of the soul thing that he went through last year, right? But this year, what he's going to find out is that the money thing, the people that are there with the money thing, it's really Donald Trump.
What? Oh, you knew that'd get my button.
I was going to say that they're of light and not dark.
Well, I think Trump is of light and not dark. I mean, I was just putting it out there to make her laugh. But yeah, I mean, just because he thinks that right now doesn't mean it's true. We can interfere in that.
Well, I just wanted to say, just because people have a lot of money doesn't mean they are evil.
Right,
but you're aware and enlightened. The rest of them aren't.
Yeah.
Money is evil, especially in Rick's mind. This is one of those, you know, I mean, I sometimes think of him as Don Quixote. I am me, Don Quixote. You know, after the what is it, the wheel that turns. Why can't I remember these things today? You know what I'm talking about.
Sticky wheel gets oil?
No. The things that turn to make turn the wheels. A windmill.
Oh.
Don Quixote. You know the guy?
Don't know Don Quixote.
Don Quixote is a character from fiction who is semi-blind and sometimes not very sane. So he has been known to attack windmills thinking they were dragons.
Oh, I had no clue on that.
Oh, that's a great story. That is a really good story. I'm surprised because it's one of those that you're supposed to read.
No, well, I never read it.
Go ahead.
Did you see what Annette had typed?
No, where'd she type it?
I copied and pasted it into
our I don't have the messages up.
Oh, I did. And it says, I'll read it. It says, the ark wasn't large enough to hold enough manna to feed all those people, so there was a miracle regardless of wherever you think it came from. And it didn't you all just say you can't believe stuff that is on TV? I feel like you're trying really hard to just believe there isn't a God and it couldn't be. And I wrote, I believe in God. Rick and Marty can change their frequency by doing forgiveness work.
Well, and that's just really upset thinking we're trying to illuminate God from the picture when it comes to the manna.
Well, I think, well, that, you know.
No, I don't.
There is a higher power. Humans use the word God. You can use the word spirit. You can use the word, you know, but because the Bible and all the energy and belief systems that go around with that, you know. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I think it's good to bring all this different viewpoints out because we always say, well, we're trying to point different things out to you or point things out to you in different ways so you can think of things in different ways. And so and she came out in the kitchen. She was really upset. Shh, don't tell her I told you.
Well,
so then I wanted to address this in case other people started feeling like she was feeling. So I wanted to throw it out so we could talk about it.
I think when we're talking about such big concepts as in God, it's really, as humans, I always say that it's absolutely, we're fallible, meaning we make mistakes because we're human. And it's very egotistical for humans to think that we can describe the indescribable, meaning the magnificence of the work of the divine. So even though I believe in a higher power, I believe in the divine, I believe in positive energy, I use discernment with the Bible because I know it was humans and it's been changed over time. Hello, the King James Version. Yeah. And we don't have all the versions. And I believe that it's important to use discernment. And that may push people's buttons, but, and I've studied the Bible. I taught Sunday school. I was president of the Indiana Regional Youth Commission. I'm an ordained minister, but I'm telling you, you know, that's just, there you go. I'll stop preaching.
Well, I'm not exactly sure why. When I take something in nature and explain it in terms of science, even if it's not a science that most people understand, the people think I don't believe in God. I mean, what did I say that said I don't believe in God? Magic is magic and miracles are miracles until there's some explanation behind them. It doesn't negate God. Where does that come from? I'm taking the words of the Bible, and I, as a human being, am interpreting them in a different way. The people what you know in your head, is somebody told you what to think.
Right.
And I'm saying to you, you're welcome to think that way. You know, I could be full of crap. Why are you getting upset? It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, gosh, dramas. You know, I mean.
Well, it's pushing buttons, because
yes, that's it. It's pushing buttons.
Of belief systems, not Nancy, because, and plus we're also talking about aliens and, you know, that pushes people's buttons. I mean, I have a really good friend who doesn't believe in aliens, and I just can't believe that she's my friend. And she doesn't believe in aliens. She's way into Egyptology. She's way into Egypt. And I'm like, dude, those were aliens. Like, those, like, the beginning of Egypt was aliens. Like, you cannot tell me that that is an alien.
Now, see, you've got a strong belief in what you just said.
And God, to me, God created it all. So God created aliens, too. They're just, it's very egotistical for humans to think that we're the only intelligent beings that have a higher spiritual connection to the divine, you know, in the universe.
Well, you know what gets me is that they're limiting.
No, what gets you?
They're limiting the power of God. It's like, you know, they're saying that, oh, my God does this. And I'm saying your God could do that and your God could do all of this. Yeah. And they're saying, I don't believe in God. No, my God is more powerful than your God because my God can do more. I mean, come on. It's like,
well, and I just think as humans, it's very egotistical to think that we even have a clue. Because God is, I mean, it's unlimited. It's infinite. It's, you know, and for us to think that we even, you know, have a clue is, I think it's very egotistical. It's very humbling. When you, I mean, if you look at images from the Hubble telescope.
Okay, I'll tell her.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Christy. I thought I was on mute. I was
talking
to her.
Well, okay, you've interrupted her. What are you going to tell her? Or me?
She says, I'm not saying Nancy, I don't believe Nancy doesn't believe in God. She didn't say that.
I wasn't.
That.
I wasn't directing it at your daughter. I was
directing it at you, Nat.
I was directing
okay,
it.
Okay, she says, okay.
I get this on the YouTube. You know, the comments.
She still loves you.
People going off on me, I don't believe in God, and I'm going like, where are you getting this?
She said, no, she wasn't saying that. She wasn't even trying to imply it. But she had to get that out.
I
thought it was a good thing to get out because I want so many different opinions.
Don't you remember when she came to the chat to begin with, and she signs in as Dolly's daughter, and
yes.
Then one time she said, "Well, the reason I came here is I want to make sure my mother hasn't been taken over by a cult."
Yes, yes.
Right. I mean, she thought we were all crazy.
Yes, she did.
You know, and now she says over the internet live to everybody, she loves me. She loves me. Because why? she's the kind of person that was, you know, she states her mind, but she will also listen.
Yes.
You know, and that's the key is that the people that come here, we say crazy things, but they listen. And they don't, you know, for the most part, they're not sure if we're crazy or not because we keep telling them this is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I openly tell people I'm a fiction writer. You know, I mean, it's so.
And that we always tell them you have to use your own discernment.
That's right. Don't let her start talking about that again. She'll go off on it again.
I know.
Okay. Let's leave Oak Island, and we'll resume the conversation when it starts up again. But I really want to know, Christia, have you been seeing this stuff about the solar observatories closing and all that?
No,
no,
I don't pay attention to.
Oh, Nancy, educator.
Oh well, you probably know more than I do. You tell it.
Well, I saw. You're the one who posted it,
my husband told me about this. because he pays attention to this alien thing called, oh God, it's a podcast, but it's about aliens. And he asked me about it, but I told him I don't pay attention to the news. But he believes it came across their desk because he thinks there's things going on with the sun and that they don't want to, you know, have to prove or talk about what's going on.
Okay, I'll tell you. All right, it started like on the 6th of September. All right, now I never heard about it until like, most of us didn't hear about it right as it was happening. But their solar observatory, right outside, 20 miles outside of Roswell, New Mexico, was suddenly shut down. And the reason it was given was that the people inside the building had called for an evacuation. But all of a sudden the FBI was there, as were Black Hawk helicopters. And in this complex was also a post office, and they also evacuated that. And the only response the FBI was giving is that they did it for security reasons. Okay, so, all right, weird story, but it came out, and it was supposed, I know, but I heard it on 9/11, because they were saying that there was a, right before all this started happening, there was this picture taken where virtually the whole third, let's say a quarter, of the top part of the sun was black. I've never seen anything so big. You'll see black holes in it, but this was huge. So they said, well, I mean, they being, you know, different commentators trying to figure this out. So one story was that this picture showed that the sun was going into a massive change and they didn't want to create panic. Okay. Then, shortly after that, this woman, I know I forgot the name again. People know it.
Gina Marie, and then she has two last names.
She did a video. Well, she was taking pictures. Apparently, she's been doing this for a while, taking pictures of the sun. So she takes some pictures of the sun, and for all practical purposes, it looks like there's a fleet of ships in the picture. I'm talking, what, 300 ships. Maybe?
Yeah, a whole bunch.
You know? Yeah. And I didn't get this until I was actually putting the Cosmic Reality promo up, because then I had to really look at the pictures. She published a blog and had these pictures up. She had also done it live right after she had done it on Facebook. I just saw these, and she was so cool about it. She's a really, really sweet lady. So the first picture was of the, off to the left is the sun, and then you see all of these things that look like little ships. And there's some, like, almost like a foggy kind of energy swirl right behind the ships to the right. And there's another picture, and every time I look at that picture, I didn't focus on it. But like I say, all of a sudden I focused on it and I realized, oh my God, that's a close up of a part of the first picture. And it looks exactly like a flying saucer, which yes, you would perceive it is. So then that came out. And
but let me preface.
Okay, go ahead.
I found out later that she wasn't taking, she took that picture a couple days after.
After they had shut down. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
I think that was like the 12th or the 13th that she took those pictures.
Yes.
I think the 12th.
Yes.
So yes, that's true. But then,
I wanted to clarify that. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. But then right after that, all of a sudden somebody found a segment of what was recorded. I don't actually know, if I can't remember if they even said it, where this film came from, but it was from one of the two satellites that is always maintaining a geodesic stationary orbit around the sun. They're just sitting in the same place watching the sun. And so they're getting all these pictures. And one of them, there was a circle thing that flew by it and then flew by in the other direction. And it was so big that a good third of the sun disappeared because it was flying in front of the camera. So then they're going, what is this about? You know? So it's some serious stuff there, Christy, and I don't know if you're picking up anything. I can talk more about it, but are you getting any imaging?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh. You can't see my face, but my mouth is hanging wide open. I'm like, my mouth is like, I could catch flies right now as you're talking because in my... their show, I'm seeing the scene, and I'm almost positive it's Secure Team 10 is what on YouTube is what my husband listens to. It's an alien thing, or they basically review people's footage out there of different things and what's going on with different NASAs and that kind of thing. And so this is right up their alley about them shutting down the solar thing. Totally believe that is for real. So did the government take down her pictures?
No. Okay.
Not
you want to do something, Christia?
Yeah.
You want to take a little trip because you seem to be a talented remote viewer, whether you know it or not.
Oh, yeah. I've done it since a child. I just didn't know that was what I was doing.
Okay. So I've already remote viewed this. The first, right after it happened, I could not remote view it. They put up a screen. All right. But then a couple of days later, they said, okay, now go look at it. But it wasn't looking at it as it currently is. It was looking at it as it was when she took that picture. Okay. Because that was acting like an anchor.
Right.
All right, because that's why I never take pictures in when I'm doing metaphysical work, because that locks it into a time frame, a timeline.
Oh, I'm with you.
All right, so that's what she did. So it's an anchor. So I can go to the time that she took that picture. And so I do, and I'm there. And I'm going like, because now I've seen the picture, so I understand the limits of human mind stuff, and it's conceivable that I could be projecting this picture because that's the picture I know. However, and if you're doing that, you're only going to be able to stay stationary and see that picture. If you're actually remote viewing, you can walk around it.
So, oh, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch more.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's not just one faction. It's a galactic council. I'm talking there is many, 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 many factions here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what happened was that when I went to go to my right, okay? And if you go to the right, stay with me here because it's a little dangerous out there. If you go to the right, you're going to see, well, it's not dangerous now because they're not there now, but there was some like this gaseous, something was weird in the picture. And that was when I went to move through it or behind it. It was so big I couldn't even get around it, and I knew I didn't want to go through it because it was some kind of a almost like a vortex. That it was like how we were seeing a huge vortex, and that these things were just popping out of it, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, have you ever seen that movie? Where those kids have those pieces from the future, and they put them together, and they send the bunny. What is that movie? But it's like a huge sacred geometry vortex that's opened, that's interdimensional, that allows physical things to travel interdimensionally.
Yes, because that's what's so awesome about it is, and it's weird because
The Last Mimsy is the movie I'm talking about.
Okay, what I feel is happening. Well, I didn't know I felt this. It was something that came through to me when I was doing the Shungite show on Tuesday, is that whatever we're going through, this awareness, this change, this awesomeness that we're experiencing is dimensional. And there's something to do with, I see everything in terms of this movement, like, you know, every frequency has a movement to it, and all the dimensions have movement to them, but there's always this one point where they connect. And that one point only comes around ever so often, and that's what we're in right now. So whatever happens in this little turf, in this little timeline, on this amazing planet, is going to be critical for all dimensions. Because when I looked at it, it was so big that it was bigger than what you would... I mean, I don't think it's a secret space program. I don't think it's... I think it's all of it. But it's also dimensional. It's like versions of themselves. It's like dimensions coming together, and there's all these other dimensions. You know, it's like a Star Trek thing. You know what I'm saying? Are you seeing the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I just heard convention. But they're still here. You said they're not here anymore, but they're still here.
No. I know they're still here. I'm saying that that stuff that was there when they first popped through that she pictured, that seems to be gone now.
They're not in front of the sun, but they're still here. They're right here. Yeah. I mean, they're like right here.
But you mean the swirly stuff we saw?
The swirly stuff. That doesn't seem to be here.
That's now. The dimension portal.
Exactly, and they closed that down.
Right.
But
right.
I see, this is what I think happened. I think that when that big black thing happened on the sun, okay, this was, the sun is basically going to turn itself inside out. And it was starting to do the rotational thing that will cause it to go out, flare up, put out all this energy that, if you're prepared for it, will cause you to simply jump in frequencies and be fine. But right now, we do not have enough people understanding this to be able to auto-correct the problems in some human beings to get them to that, so that they don't just simply disintegrate and blow up, that they actually make the change. And so they needed to dampen this, keep it down just a bit longer, so that we can do our work and get enough people aware that we can, like, you know, okay, boys and girls, let's all hold hands and we're going to be okay. But we need people to come to the realization that this is not, you know, Disneyland. This is galactic and dimension and beyond. This is really fun.
I always say, if you're bored, you're not paying attention.
And we're only here for entertainment purposes.
Yes.
And those beings that came through the dimensional vortex, have you all seen The Last Mimsy? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have not seen
it. No,
me
neither.
Okay. It's one of my favorite movies, only because it literally takes sacred geometry and shows it, like, okay, so it's two little kids playing on the beach, and they find this box floating in the water. Well, the future since has been sending these little rabbits that are actually in their computers, and they talk, and they're looking for a pure soul, and because the future humans are corrupt. Oh, imagine that. Anyway, so imagine that.
Imagine
imagine destroying the Earth. Oh, oblivion. Oh,
really?
So they sent this technology, and of course the government tries to get the kids, but the little girl is the pure one, and they refer to, like, one of the teachers is into Tibetan ancient art, and there's the Siri Yantra. Anyway, so when the little kids at the end of the movie, that's the coolest part. That's what you need to watch. Because what happens is they have these spinning, looks like shungite, these spinning pieces. And they have like five or six of them. And then they create this energy, like a see-through energy bubble. And then all of a sudden, this interdimensional sacred geometry, like the Siri Yantra, if you know what a Siri Yantra is, it's the triangles as above, so below, but it's an ancient Tibetan symbol that's like, what, hundreds of thousands of years old. And it's like that in the sky. And they take that rabbit and they put it in that spinning thing, and it goes through energetically, physically goes through, because they couldn't send a human. That's why they were sending rabbits, because a human couldn't survive. But if we're upgrading and we're holding more light, who's to say that, you know, because that's just a movie with a concept. Who's to say we can't survive interdimensional travel? And so it's really an interesting movie, only because the visuals, and I think it's really important as humans to stretch our, you know, our mind, our imagination, and open to, you know, interdimensionality, like you said, that vortex, that grayish blob, or you said it was smoky, probably was obscured somehow so that you didn't consciously go through it. Because sacred geometry, depending on what it is, it could automatically take you through it.
Well, and it did feel more like a hologram to me.
Ah, yeah.
It felt like, because I didn't have any hesitation, I didn't feel an energetic field. That's why I moved to my right. But when I started moving to my right, all of a sudden I was like confronting that it was weird. It was a visual, it was like the holographic image dropped for a fraction of a second, and I saw something very weird in the other side. As a matter of fact, my mind won't process it, but it was enough to warn me. So I just backed off. It's fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating. What did you find out? What were you guys finding out there, Dolly? Do you want to comment?
About the observatories?
Yeah, and the rest of it.
Well, I never found out about the other six observatories. And they were all over the world, all around the world. I did find they're located on strategic, what are those things, points you call?
Ley lines?
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Energy places, yes. But I didn't think ley lines when I heard the word. But anyway, they're located in those specific strategic places around the world. They never did release the real reason why. The first one, the New Mexico one, was closed. We never got a real reason, but there were so many assumptions. There were as many assumptions as there were people who thought about it. From all the aliens closed it off, or like the Gina Marie was taking the pictures and thinking, well, the aliens were coming through and they didn't want us to see that. And there were just so many different excuses from different people why they would have closed it off. Or the military base that was close had the tunnels going, and they were doing something that involved through the tunnels and then the observatory and all that. And so we never did get a real clear reason why. And the post office, they didn't mention anything with the other six about any post offices. Why this post office was closed is beyond everybody, except for who's involved with it, of course. But nobody could figure out why the post office was involved. One of the things was, yes, a bunch of the aliens that have been wanting to get through somehow were able to get through that day, and they weren't all nice ones. I've seen that reason why. it's all supposition. It's all guesses. But that's what I found out when I was doing my research. And when I was doing the research, I thought, well, there isn't much here to research. All we know is something big happened that day. At least in all those seven areas.
Well, that was the thing, is that they've got some kind of an excuse for the one near Roswell, New Mexico. It was like all of a sudden there were five more, and then nobody's talking about them. There were six more.
Yeah.
Six more? I thought there were six altogether.
No, there's seven altogether.
Oh, well, that's interesting. When it starts up, you know, I get a remote. And what I saw was that whatever the problem was have nothing to do with the buildings on the surface. It was something underground. And I couldn't get a real perception of what was down there. Again, kind of like, I'm not sure. I just follow whatever guidance I've got at the time. I didn't have any guidance to go down there and find out exactly what it was. But there was some kind of underground facility that was also connected to the under the post office. And so I don't know. What I saw was construction. That it wasn't a facility. Part of the facility was working, but then there seemed to be some other construction happening. And the story I don't even remember where I saw it, but one of the commentators said that there was supposedly, who was that? Because you love this, Christia. There was somebody that was saying there's a big machine, a cutting machine that, It essentially makes the rock in front of it molten. And so it's burning its way through, and it can go very, very fast. It's not like cutting and all of that stuff gets melted and then you've got smooth walls. You know, it's a known piece of equipment. And the story was that they were digging, you know, going through Mother Earth, and she got pissed off and let off a lava flow back up towards them. And that it burned up all the equipment, and the men were just lucky to get out of there, but the fumes started going into the surface area, and that's why because there was somebody that said we smelled something. And the call did come from the people inside those buildings. But supposedly the smell came out from the lava. Interesting, that story, hey? Did you hear that one, Dolly?
No. Interesting.
And the person who was writing it says, look, you got to stop messing with Mother Nature, because she's going to, you know, instead of blowing the top off of the Yellowstone, you know, she's just going to blow all that lava pressure right down your tunnels. All of the underground tunnels, everything gone. She's going to take them out. I don't know who this woman was. I think it's a woman. I look at so many things. I've got to really take notes, you know, because what happens to me, probably other people, you start up a YouTube and then suddenly another one on the same subject comes up, and so, you know, you get captured in these little blurpy things and go, what where did I find, you know?
But I found you get caught up in shiny things.
Right.
Oh, what's that shiny thing over there? Oh my gosh, there's another one over there. So you get bits and pieces of each thing you're looking at, but then you get sidetracked with the shiny stuff. At least I do. I do.
I feel that I am led down to find, I feel that those shiny things are like clues. And if I follow those things, they're taking me down a path of learning. That's what I say to myself. Okay. Ooh, we're learning.
I say, ooh, another shiny thing.
I got to tell you guys a little funny here. Okay, so I'm talking to Jean Rockefeller, and one of those solar observatories was not very far from her. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's right in the middle of, like, a urban area. And Jean's saying to me, I just don't understand this. Why would they put an observatory in the middle of all that light? And I didn't actually understand what she was saying at first. Light, you know, it just, I was going, what she was saying, light pollution, like light, like, you know, all these lights out there, you're looking at the stars, you know, I mean, what, you know? And so I'm like, wow, that's right, that is kind of suspicious, you know? And then later that night, when all of a sudden I flashed on it, I said, It's a solar observatory. It looks while the sun's up. It doesn't care about the light pollution. You know, and it just tickles me when I think I know everything, right? Not everything, but, you know, I mean, a fair amount. And I was like, yeah, that's really suspicious. I have to remember to tell Jean that she still thinks it's suspicious. Oh God! Oh, and we should say happy time for Jean, because right now it started last night. She's got this event with Jack the Watcher and the other Watchers, you know, that she works with in Pennsylvania, and she's got like a dozen people that came from all over the states to attend this last night. What they're doing is that they're doing the same type of event with Jean here in the States, and in Australia with Cindy, I forget her last name, who was on with us, and she was just, I really liked her. I like her. So they're, and she's got a horse farm also. So what's happening is that they're doing this kind of mirrored thing of this event and connecting through Skype. So that last night they had the Friday event, and today they're doing I don't know what. And tomorrow they're doing some closing thing. But this is the first time she's ever done this before. And, you know, she must be on the right path, because she was really overwhelmed by the amount of response she got and the support she's getting from the people that need to give her the support, like the people that own the farm that Jack is boarded at. So go get them, Jean. Show those people what real magic's about.
I still have no clue what she's doing.
I don't really, but you know, Jean is one of the most amazing people I've ever encountered. And there was a family whose house is burnt down, and they had three cats, and the cats, they thought the cats had gotten out of the house, but there was no house for the cats to come back to. So Jean went out, found those cats, three of them, and brought them back. Etherically. Just found them with her mind. Come on, honey, you got to come home. And let them back, etherically, back to their houses. She's pretty amazing. And the way she told it to me was like, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't get to that, but I had to deal. And she's telling me the story like, no big deal. I had to deal with this, you know. I had to run some errands. Okay. Just, I have so much respect for her. Are you still with us, Christia?
Yeah, I was thinking that she's working with Pan and the nature spirits and the devas of the cats, and she tuned into their frequency signature. And it's just so easy for her, because she's been doing it since she was little.
Yep.
I mean, she's... You know, and it's just, it's no big deal for her because it's so natural. But for, you know, the outside looking in, it's amazing. You know, it's absolutely amazing. Now, I do believe everyone has the potential to, you know, to animal communicate and heal, but it's whether or not they'll tune in, you know. But Jean never lost it. And she only got better because she's an earth angel, you know. She's meant to do the work she's doing. And I love that the universe is responding to her work, that she's doing, she's benefiting from getting the support that she needs, the earth 3D support. She's had spirit support, but now she's getting the 3D physical support. Which is a sign that we're shifting.
Yes, I believe that Gene has been one of those people holding a frequency that we, the rest of us, are now moving into. You know, and we're all just going to, you know, well, we all of us do this at one degree or another. There's always somebody that's a little lower than you, but there's always somebody that's higher than you. And so we just, you know, balance out by working with people. The problem comes in when we fight it. You know, it's like there is continual change. Every single fraction of a second is different from the one that just went by. You know, change is what it's all about. And if you go with the flow and don't fight it, don't think that you want to maintain something, just make every second count, make it beautiful, live in the present. You can't fix the past, theoretically, and you can't, you know, predict the future. So you might as well just, you know, stay right where you're at and do the things you need to build a future that you can envision as being one that you really want to live in. And I want to live in one where I've got friends like Dolly and Christy, and we can laugh because we got all three of us the same warped sense of humor.
Because we're crazy.
I think when we resist, you know, then we suffer. And change is the only constant. You're totally right. And if we can embrace it and be present moment, you know, that's why they call it the present moment, because it's a gift. And, yeah, spot on.
So we've only got about 10 minutes left. Do you want to do something or tell us what you've been up to? Or?
I'll do some sound if you guys want me to. I'll do a few minutes of sound. Sure. And before I do that, I'll bring in the Star Soul Family of Light because they're already here. And I just want to say that I've been cutting... literally working with Archangel Michael to literally cut people's cords from the collective and then personally, and then the cord is not attached to anything, and then immediately dissolving that cord in God's love so it can't reattach the collective, it can't reattach from the collective, and it can't reattach from the human in its energy field. And then I'm also asking that the 3D human receive and align with the person's own unique soul's light frequency. And then I visualize their soul coming down in through their crown into their physical body, and all their multidimensional cells and multidimensional bodies are aligned like stars. So star soul alignment, and then seeing that pure light, which people's soul is a dewdrop from God. It's pure light, pure love, divinely directed by God, their guardian angel, and their soul, and the love and appreciation. Because if we didn't have a physical body, our soul couldn't have this human experience. So there's a lot of love and gratitude for your physical form from your soul, and helping people open up to that love and gratitude, which are the two highest frequencies available to humans on the planet, is love and gratitude. And it divinely calibrated specifically individually for that person, because it's their own unique soul light. And it's just been phenomenal, and I'm excited. And then I bring through sound. And so that's what I'm doing. And as I'm talking about it, I'm seeing Dolly, and all your posse, I say posse, but what I mean by is it's basically, it's loved ones who've crossed over, it's angelic, it's also animals, it's also ascended masters, and then I'm seeing Native people, but in different, not just Native Americans, but Inuits, and some Aboriginal, and like ancient Celtic Druid tree people. I'm also seeing interdimensional people, as well as, they're showing me themselves kind of humanoid, but they're probably light beings who are not of a human shape. But that's just how they're presenting themselves to me, so I don't freak out, is what they're telling me. And then, so many, many, many beings are here. I'm seeing a scene, a gathering of being on the beach, and there's a fire in the middle, and then there's a circle of beings, but it's like really, really, really crowded. And people have, I say people, but beings have come from all over and they're gathering. So I'm going to bring through, some sound frequency, and it is my intention that everyone listening now live and on the recording, if you tune in and you want to connect with your star soul light family, that if you tune in, you'll hear the frequencies that you need to hear. And then just state your attention that you'd like to connect at a heart level, with your people. So here we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, that deep voice always freaks me out coming out of you.
Because it's not me. Well, I think it's a higher version of me, or I'm a channel, and I guess whatever you want to believe. If you want to believe I'm a channel and beings are coming through me, or it's a higher version of myself. I'm open to whatever you believe. I'm not going to try to define it.
You know, when you started the show, you were talking about having seen, I don't even remember what words you used, but energies of people being attached and all that?
Yes.
What was that all about? Do you mind sharing that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been seeing, First it was rivers, but actually what it is, if you look at the earth from a distance, around the earth are frequencies. And some of those frequency patterns are created by humans' emotions. And depending on what emotions that we feed, be it, you know, anger, fear. Now, there's still good ones. There's love and hope and faith and abundance. But what tends to be fed here on abundance is the negative frequencies. And what I've been doing is working with Archangel Michael to literally cut those cords from the 3D human, from them energetically, from the collective, and them individually. And so because I'm cutting it in two places, then there's just the piece of the cord that I immediately have dissolved in God's love. It's been phenomenal because I can see the pattern that the person is in from past lives. I can see it where it's in their family DNA, where they're manifesting it, and then where it is in them and how it's hooked into the collective. It's been pretty phenomenal. People are having huge, huge, huge shifts. They can feel it. They can feel it when I cut the cords.
You don't have to ask permission from them to cut the cord?
Well, they're getting a healing from me.
These are people that come to you to get a healing and then you see that.
Or I'm working long distance. Most of my people I work through on Skype. It's all long distance.
Oh, so you've made this agreement that you're working on them and they're the people that you're cutting these cords.
Oh, they know. I tell them, I'm going to cut your cords.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm asking this because since I started getting involved in this, I've always been told you cannot do anything to anyone without asking their permission.
That, or you can get their soul's permission. If there is an illness, if you want to help an animal, if you want to help, let's say, the people suffering from Florence, if you want to help people at a distance, you can get permission from their soul. And you can have it divinely directed by God and the angels and the higher beings and put it out there. And with nature, with the earth, with animals, with plants, to get their permission, you need to ask the deva of whatever it is and Pan and the nature spirits. But you can ask. I don't think it. Rarely I've gotten a no.
It's sort of like you're offering a solution, and it's up to them to decide to take it.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But I know I'm on the right path because I've been busier this month than I've ever been.
Well, no, because I had the same question Dolly did, the free will concept.
Yeah. Well, that's my whole thing is Earth is a free will zone. You got to ask. You gotta ask.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So why don't you give people your website information, how they can contact you?
Oh, it's Christia, Christia Cummings, CUMMINGS.com. ChristiaCummings.com. And visit my YouTube. I'm doing a message of light once a week. And I do the sound on there. People are getting healings from just listening to a few minutes of the sound.
Yes, I still want to get, you know, incorporate more of what you guys do. Like, you come on our show, and we have hosts that come on our show. I want to get more of you guys' tapes and stuff so that we can play them to people. Because it truly is a nice place to come to just feel good about the fact that we have good people that just really want to, you know, heal, get better, make changes.
Yay!
Awesome. Dolly, you want to say goodnight?
Okay. Good night, everybody. I've enjoyed this so much. I like having discussions like
it
this.
It was great.
I mean, we can take different views of the same subject and express ourselves, and nobody gets pissed at anybody because they don't agree on everything completely, and we honor each other's opinions. I really love this kind of discussion. So I've enjoyed it.
Oh, I thoroughly have enjoyed it.
Well, give Annette a hug.
Okay.
Christia, you want to say night?
Just say good night. I love you all. I'm so grateful that I get to come on here and spend time with you all. I think you're beautiful people, and I'm grateful to share in it.
And we're grateful to have you. So for everybody that is part of our radio station and our listeners, Etherics, have a wonderful, wonderful time until we see you next time. Galactics, just remember, be gentle. Don't freak anybody out. Don't scare the dogs.
Or the cats.
Bye-bye. Let me hear it, dog.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say what? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.